I am prone to impatience. I am prone to impatience to the person who's driving in front of me. And man, I wish people would learn how to drive. I am impatient when I go to No Frills and there is somebody with 20 items in the 16 and under line. And then they don't even have their money ready. And then after they pay, they said, oh, I forgot to get my points. And now the cashier's got to do some stuff to make that happen. I mean, 20 items in the 16-item line. Give me a break. And then you go to a meeting and you're told that it's going to be an hour. And it's 2 hours simply because the person who's prepared the meeting isn't even prepared. I'll be honest, I am probably the most impatient person in the world. How patient are you? Bill Megashine has this quip, which you'll see on the slide. Patience is something that you admire in the driver behind you, but not in the one ahead. Isn't that true? Or as Margaret Thatcher in 1989, who was the Prime Minister of England, who's known as the Iron Lady, says, I'm an extraordinary patient, provided I get my own way in the end. She said it as a joke, but it was really true in how she was or who she is. Now, I can't blame my parents. I can't blame my personality. I can't blame the people I work with or the environment on why I am what I am. But patience, at its very root, is selfishness. Selfishness is opposite of what Paul, in the fruit of the Spirit, is calling us to be. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Selfishness, by its very nature, says things are all about me. I am the focus. I am where the attention should be given. It's the opposite of love. Love, on the other hand, you'll find that on the screen, is a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection. As for a parent, a child, a friend, it's a sexual passion or desire, or a person towards whom love is felt, a beloved person, a sweetheart. But love is also in action. Love is patient because patience is a dying to selfishness. If you are a truly patient person, you will learn to be able to get out of the way and make the focus not about yourself, but draw it towards another person. The summary of the law in Matthew 22 says that we are to love God and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. If I truly love people the way that God loves me, with a patient kind of love, where others are the focus of my attention, that person who's driving in front of me, I'm going to view them differently. That lady in the grocery store who's simply just being rude, I'm going to view her differently. As I look at that person leading the meeting, I'm going to look at how I can help make that meeting better differently. How is it that we've become such an impatient society today? But if you and I learn how to be patient, we actually become a picture of grace or love in action. Now, how do you do that? Well, I think it's actually quite simple, is we begin to model Christ, who becomes the ultimate example of what it means not only to be selfless, but to love. Now, how do you learn to do that? Well, you begin to learn that by reading the Word of God and by applying it to your life. And when we do that by the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that we will become more like Christ. Love is patient. But it also requires faith and humility. I say that because there are moments in life where we simply need to be still and to rest in God. We be able to rest in the fact that God is going to finish that work that he has begun within us. Sometimes God simply wants us to wait. Waiting for that right person to come along. Waiting for that job to come forward. But have you ever noticed that patient love is never in a hurry? And when it does, it begins to ask this question: what might God want to be teaching me as I'm actively waiting for him to fulfill what he is already going to bring to completion in my story? What might God be wanting to teach us? Love is patient, but it's not permissive. Have you ever begun to look at a patient love being called to action? When you look at all that is going on in the world, and this builds off of what we talked about last week, we just don't sit there knowing that God is going to bring a plan together anyways, but it's how can you and I partner with God in what we know that he wants to do in the world? Now, what does God want to do in the world? Well, from the very beginning of time, God has set in motion a plan to redeem and renew the world, which will ultimately be seen when he comes again and he creates the new heaven and the new earth. But as we wait for that moment, God calls us in our patient love to be actively involved in the story of redemption. Look at what's going on in the world today. Look not only to the natural disaster in Texas, but in Asia and other parts of the world who are experiencing great floods. How can the church actively respond with the love of Christ into those environments where people's stories are torn apart? How can the church actively love in a society, not the United States, but Canada, where racism is on the rise? How can the church rise up with the patient love of God to a society that is becoming more and more immoral? You see, the chapter that has just come out of Spiritual Gifts tells us something about Christ. It tells us about the very selfless nature of Christ. It tells us about the very focus of his ministry and of his life, of how he came into the world, was born as a child, as he became a slave or a servant to humanity, as he would go to the cross, as he would be buried, as he'd pour out his spirit, as he would ascend into heaven. And even now he sits at the throne room of heaven with a great patience for the world, that we might respond to the goodness of God until the point where he will come again to redeem the world. You see, he says love is patient, love is kind. It is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but it rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hope all things. It endures all things. Interestingly to note, the word patience is actually the word makrothumena. It's made up of two words, makros and thumena. Makros means long. Thumena means wrath or passion. So when you hear the words patience, it's actually a long wrath. We're used to the phrase, someone has a short fuse, or they snap easily, they're agitated quickly, they get angry quickly. But when Paul writes this, what he's actually saying is patience is something that is not easily angered. It is not quick to blow up. It is not easily agitated. In fact, did you know that the word patience is a verb? Now, I know all the teachers are going to correct me, but in English, the best we have is an adjective to describe patience. But in the original language, when Paul says love is patient, he's saying it's something that we need to do and to continually do. It is a verb. It is something that requires us to respond in. Sean T. writes it this way. He says that God's love points us to his great love. Now, God's great love is ultimately seen in his patience, in his relentless pursuit of you and I, of the second and the third and the fourth chances, because our eternal destiny is at stake. When God's love is patient, it is talking about his deep, active, pursuing love for you and I that we might respond to him. And he invites us to have that for others. George Mueller was the pastor of an orphanage. And already at the beginning, he began to pray for those children that were in the orphanage. And he was drawn more affectionately to five of them. After many months, one of them came to faith. After 10 years of praying, the second one came to faith. After 25 years, the third one came to faith. And then the fourth. After 52 years of praying for these boys, George Mueller died. And 3 months after his funeral, the fifth one came to faith. Isn't that just a small glimpse of a picture of that active patience that God has toward us? If you're praying for someone that hasn't come to faith yet, don't give up. God's still at work. God's still working in their story. And God invites you to continue to pray, continue to walk, continue to look for those moments to share. But love is also patient in the way that our relationships play out. It's not making the things that are small in life big things. It's not making mountains out of molehills, so to speak. But it begins to view people's stories a little differently. If we are to love, and we are, with a selfless kind of love, where our hearts are drawn to another person, the other person begins to be our focus. And so look what happens now when you realize how patient God is with you to the way that we deal with our kids. Or maybe our kids to their parents. To our neighbors, to the employee with the bad attitude or the language. How do you patiently walk with someone whose story isn't quite there yet? Thankfully, not everyone is like us. But that patience plays out by simply loving people where they are. Love is patient in romance. William Barclay writes it this way, and I love the quote. It says, "The quality that makes a man not simply able to suffer things, but to vanquish them," and he writes in a little later, "or to rise over them." If you were to look into the Bible and look for the greatest story of patient romance, how many of us would look to Jacob? Jacob was a guy who wanted this girl named Rachel. And he worked for 7 years, but then he was duped because the older daughter wasn't married. And so this was during a time of polygamy. And he ended up getting Rachel. But he so loved Rachel that Uncle Laban said, "Oh, if you work another 7 years, you can have her as well." And so he does. And he does it without complaining. He does it without griping. He just continually does that. And it seemed, the Bible says, like days to him. He loved her so much. He was so patient. He was so longing for her that time went by so quickly. But not only is it that working, I think when we begin to look at the story of how that plays out, a patient love, for those of you who are walking into relationships, will not make you do something outside of the will of God. A patient love will stand up for abstinence. A patient love will see you as the person being dated, as created in the image of God, with gifts and talents and value. A patient love will seek to honor you. A love that is not willing to wait isn't really love at all. A patient love is also a listening kind of love. My favorite movie of all time, I try to watch it at least once a year, is The Princess Bride. Now, there is this great scene in there. Princess Buttercup is about to get married, and she has this endearing moment with her future father-in-law, the king, who's going a little senile. And she goes to him and simply says, "I won't be here in the morning. I'm going to kill myself." To which the king says, "Ah, that's nice." You know, we walk through a lot of relationships in life. But sometimes I think we truly forget to listen. I want to give you a little challenge this week. As you go through this week and you are asked that question, I challenge you to say to somebody, "You know what, I'm doing rotten. Guarantee you this will be the answer. Ah, that's nice." You see, a patient love takes time to listen and ask, "Well, why are you doing rotten? What's really going on?" I believe we all need patience. Now, as you've already heard in a loud voice that I am the most impatient person in the world, or at least one of them, I decided this week to check out on a counseling website what some of the factors are for people like me, and maybe you don't have this problem, of being impatient, which is totally opposite of the fruit of the Spirit. And here's what I learned. If you are an impatient person, you will be dissatisfied, upset, and angry at yourself. You will easily lose control. You will throw away relationships in every area of your life. You'll waste energy worrying about things that are already in motion that you can't control. You will withdraw prematurely from all relationships before the payoff actually happens. You'll turn yourself off from others. You'll sacrifice friendships. You'll ignore positive gains in your life. You'll become optimistic because the cup will always be half empty, not half full. You will become in a hurry and you'll neglect your blessings. You'll burn out. You'll lose the ability for any kind of success. You'll lose the ability to take a large goal and break it down. You'll be overcome and you'll lose all motivation. I don't know what it's like for you, but I'm slowly learning patience. Learning patience with other people's spiritual journeys. I think of God in Israel, God in Jonah, God with Saul who became Paul, God with his disciples and how patient he was with them, and how patient God is with me. You see, love is patient. And love is patient is seen in the fact that God loves you and I so much that he was willing to ultimately display that in going to the cross for you and me. And God's love this morning invites you and I to begin to grow that fruit of the Spirit in our lives, that evidence by his grace, by surrendering to him day in and day out. God is at work. Now, as loudly as it was said at the beginning that I'm impatient, I hope the other side of the story you'll hear as well. To the drivers around me, you probably hear less honking in Richmond Hill. You probably see less death stares when somebody does something out of the ordinary, or less like this as I drive by people. I'm learning to bite my tongue when I go to No Frills. In fact, this week I even said, "Why don't you go in front of me to a couple of people?" To meetings, yeah, don't be surprised that I'm involved in asking, "How can I help make this better?" You know, God is so patient. And I'm not there yet, and I suspect most of us aren't there yet. But I suspect each of us can learn the fruit of the Spirit and can learn patience as an example of love. Because here's the neat thing. When you and I begin to love patiently, we begin to model the very love of Christ that we want the world to hear. And so my challenge for us this coming week is to ask ourselves that question, are we patient? And if we're not, that we begin to pray and ask God to develop that into our story. Because the good news is that God is patient so that we could repent, that we could believe, that we could grow into the full likeness of Christ. And here's the good news. God is coming again. And he's going to take us to be with him forever and ever. So will you join me this week in patiently loving the world that God so generously loves? And to model the grace as together we begin to practice and to live out patience in our own lives. Amen. God is good. And we were able to celebrate that goodness this week. We want to congratulate the Valkenburgs as Michael and Amy were married yesterday. And I just want to say congratulations. That was it was a beautiful day. And not only the bride, but the groom, man. The way the groom looked at the bride coming down the aisle was just, again, a testimony to what we've been talking about. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your amazing love for us. Lord, we thank you that you have taught us to love and that you have brought love into our story in our lives. Lord, we just want to thank you for Michael and Amy. Thank you for the vows that they could make yesterday, Lord. We thank you that you are at the very center of that ceremony, and we know what their lives. And we just pray that you would bless them with a long and a healthy marriage. We pray that you would be with them in the coming weeks and months as they adjust to married life. We pray that their story would be a radiant example of your amazing love. Lord, we thank you for the ability to learn and go back to school. We want to pray, Lord, for the students as they go back, whether it be to elementary or to high school or to college or university, that you would be with them as they segue back into those learning environments. Lord, we pray that you would shield them and protect them. Lord, we pray that their faith would be challenged, that their faith would grow, and that you would use them in their schools to be a radiant example of faith. And Lord, that they would learn to love their classmates and their teachers as much as you love them. And Lord, we just pray that you would be with the teachers, Lord, as they adjust to taking our rambunctious, energized students, and Lord, to not only settle them into an environment of learning, but to love them. We just pray that you would refresh them for the task that they have been called to, Lord, as instruments of you, and that our students, Lord, would have a great year of learning. Lord, we thank you for the ability to be a witness, not only here, but around the world. Lord, we thank you that Phil and Janetta could have arrived back safely in Tanzania. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with them in their work of agriculture and medicine. We pray that you would continue to be with the African Inland Church and that you would use them to that end. But Lord, we also want to remember our world. We want to remember the floodings, not only in Texas, but in Asia as well. Lord, in the mass destruction that has caused, Lord, for the loss of not only life, but the displacement of people. Lord, we pray that the waters would continue to recede. Lord, we pray that you would be with the rebuilding process. That, Lord, people would be able to move back into their story in a fairly quick manner. Lord, we pray that you would arise your church through organizations like World Renew and Samaritan's Purse or local congregations, Lord, to open their doors and be radiant examples of love. that, Lord, you would cause in this moment, Lord, to stir up in the hearts of those who are beginning or soon will rebuild their lives to ask serious questions about what life is really all about. And that your church would patiently walk with people as they ask the hard questions and figure things out. Lord, we think politically of the rising escalation of the possibility, Lord, of a war with North Korea. Lord, we just pray that calmer minds would come forward. Lord, we pray that that situation would be diffused and that reality would not happen. Lord, we thank you for the work of this church in this community. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless our programs, which will soon start up. And that, Lord, as many youth and children will come into this building, some who the very first time will hear the story of the love of God, that you would arise your church to walk, to invest, to model the grace of God in action, that seeds may be watered and nurtured and maybe even come to faith. In your name we pray. Amen.